Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. It has often been said, especially of late, that the Christian holidays of Easter and Christmas are polluted with pagan imagery and lore. Today we continue our Deep Questions series by looking at the symbols of Easter, their origins, and their traditional and contemporary meaning. We will also ask the question, if it means one thing to us today, then why does it matter what it meant thousands of years ago? So grab your Bible, turn it to John chapter 20, and prepare your heart and mind as we look at the symbols of Easter. And now please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of John chapter 20. If you're following in the pew Bible, it's found on page 114 of the New Testament. We are continuing this week our series called Deep Questions. These are questions that you, the congregation, have given to me. This is our ninth week of questions, and we have, after this, we have four more to go. So it's been a very interesting series. It's been very challenging for me to put these sermons together, and I really do appreciate also the depth of the questions that you have given me. That said, this question this week seems to be very shallow. And I printed it in a bulletin. Here it says, what is the deal with rabbits and Easter? What's the deal with rabbits and Easter? Now, I don't see anybody in this congregation who is under the age of 10 other than my son. And we're not talking to him about the Easter Bunny. So I'm going to go ahead and give you my spiel. It's a tough question because we like to make these holidays special to many people, and that means making it special to children as well. And so we sort of co-opt some of these symbols. We're going to talk today about the symbols of Easter. We could at one point in the future talk about the symbols of Christmas as well, but today we're going to stick to just Easter. So let us hear the word of the Lord for us today, beginning at verse 11 in John chapter 20. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask that you would once again bless this hour of prayer, study, and worship, that we would grow closer to you through your holy word. Turn our hearts to you now, Lord, and consume us in your love. For we ask it in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Conspiracy theories. We hear a lot of them, and especially with the advent of the internet, they are everywhere. Stop me if you've heard this one. 9/11 was an attack that was orchestrated by the Bush administration. The towers could not possibly have fallen as fast as they did, and if you look at the video, they fall in free fall time. And if you look very closely at the video, you can see little explosions as the towers collapse, which indicates that there was, in fact, charges laid in the buildings. There's no way that jet fuel could have knocked those buildings down. In fact, the jet fuel would have burned off very quickly. This is a conspiracy that has been going on ever since the attacks happened. But it's just that. It's a theory about a conspiracy. There are many conspiracy theories in the world. JFK's assassination was one of them. It goes on to this day, and we'll probably never honestly know the truth because all the people who were involved are dead. People said it couldn't possibly be just one person who pulled the trigger. One man on the fifth floor of a building half a block away with an old rifle, loading it by hand, could not possibly have gotten off as many shots as he did. The one bullet, the single bullet theory, couldn't possibly have happened because of the way the trajectory it went through Kennedy and twisted around and went down and through McGovern and all this stuff and conspiracy theories. People like to try and come up with ways to explain things that they can't explain. Quite honestly, Easter and Christmas are like that. Easter and Christmas are like that because we have a lot of conspiracy theories about Easter. We're going to look at Easter today. Christians, this is the theory. Christians are being misled by Satan into worshiping pagan gods and goddesses. I have here, and I thank Leona for bringing this in today. I didn't ask her to bring this in, but it just happened to work out. It's great. That's the way God works sometimes. But she had actually brought this magazine to me before. It's called Good News, The Good News. How Christian is Easter? Funny thing is, in doing my research for this sermon this week, I watched a video by this group. They're called Beyond Today. And they do talk an awful lot about the pagan origins of Easter and why it is wrong to celebrate Easter, that we should be, as Christians, celebrating Passover. Because that's what Jesus was celebrating on the night that he was betrayed into the hands of the civil authorities. Passover. Why do we celebrate Easter when we do? Why do we celebrate Easter in the spring? Why do we link Easter to Passover? Seems like it's always right near Passover every year, doesn't it? In fact, they are inextricably linked. Because when we read the account of the Bible, all four accounts in the Gospels agree that Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples the very next day, that very night, really, he was turned over to the authorities by Judas. The very next day, he was before Pontius Pilate, condemned to death, carried his cross up the hill to Calvary, was crucified at 9 in the morning, and died at 3 in the afternoon. All four gospel accounts agree on this. They also all agree that because the next day was the Sabbath day, the Jews wanted his body taken down from the cross. Not just his body, but also the body of the two thieves who were crucified with him. Which is why they broke the legs of the thieves so that they would die quicker. So they could take them off the cross before sundown. Because sundown began the Sabbath day. And here, in the 20th chapter of John, it says, early on the first day of the week. Now, Sabbath is the last day of the week. It's the seventh day. The first day of the week then would be Sunday. All four of the gospel accounts agree on this. And yet, this group, beyond today, in their infinite wisdom, have decided to put out this theory. First of all, that it was impossible that Jesus would have only been in the tomb from Friday evening to Sunday morning, because clearly he said in a prophecy, just as Jonah lay in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will lay in the earth for 3 days and three nights. Called it the sign of Jonah. And they look at that and they say, well, he didn't lay in the ground for 3 days and three nights. He laid in the ground for two nights and one day. So because Jesus can't possibly lie and he couldn't have been wrong, then obviously our counting of the time is wrong. But again, all four of the gospel accounts agree. How do you explain that? Well, you can explain it by saying that the Jewish idiom, a day and a night, means a day. It just means a day. So if he was laid in the ground on a Friday, and he was in the ground on Saturday, and he was risen on Sunday, that's 3 days. And in a Jewish idiom, that would be 3 days and three nights. Whether it was truly 3 days and three nights, or just 36 hours, it's just the way they expressed it. What about the symbols of Easter? We all know the most famous symbol of Easter is this, the bunny, the Easter bunny. This one's chocolate. I like milk chocolate bunnies myself. I like to bite their ears off first. They actually make bunnies that have big ears and little tiny bodies. Have you seen those? It's pretty funny. For people like me who like to eat the ears. Where do these symbols come from? What about the name of Easter? The word Easter doesn't actually appear anywhere in the Bible. That's not entirely true. It does appear once, only in the King James Bible. But in that one case, it's a word that everywhere else is translated as Passover. The writers the translators of the King James decided to call it Easter in that one case. So the word Easter doesn't appear in the Bible. Then again, neither does the word Christmas or Christ's Mass. So why do we celebrate these things? In the very beginning, the early Christians began by celebrating every Sunday as a mini Passover. Now, the word for Passover is Pesach in Hebrew, or Pascha in the Greek. We find this word carries over into modern language. All the Romanic languages, every language, in fact, except for English, calls this holiday Passover. The word is Pâques in French, or Pascha in Spanish, or it's still Pascha in the Greek. Only in English do we call it Easter. And the word Easter really denotes a springtime celebration. What about the season of Lent? 40 days symbolizing the 40 days that Jesus fasted in the wilderness. But we don't fast on the Sundays, because each Sunday really is a mini Easter. Every Sunday. That's why we come together on Sundays. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Day on a Sunday, because that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It's interesting because in the book of Acts, it chronicles all of this. It tells us that the Jews who followed Jesus began to celebrate on the first day of the week. They would gather on the first day of the week, whereas traditionally Jews would gather on the last day of the week because that was the Sabbath day. There are Christians today who go absolutely berserk over this. Oh, we have to celebrate Sabbath on the Saturday because that is the way that God ordained it. Because in the Ten Commandments it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the Sabbath day is not Sunday. So if you're celebrating the Sabbath day on a Sunday, you're wrong and you're going to hell. That's what people say. I don't say that. Don't quote me on that. A lot of Christians, like this group here, also tell us that if we celebrate Easter, we are celebrating a festival that is not in the Bible, and we are celebrating a festival to false pagan gods. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I have celebrated Easter, it was for one reason and one reason only, and that was to celebrate the risen Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose again on the third day. That's what I'm celebrating on Easter. Now, the chocolate bunnies are just a side note, and that's fine. Why do we have chocolate bunnies, by the way? Anybody know? Because for Lent, we give up sweets. Or traditionally, they would give up sweets. So when Lent is over, we want sweets. That's what we want. So we get candy and we get chocolate and all this, the good stuff. What about the rabbits? Again, the conspiracy theorists would tell us that the rabbits are a fertility symbol of the goddess Ishtar. Ishtar. Or Astartes. And then they say, this same pagan goddess in the British Isles was called Eostra. And that's where we got the name Easter. So if you're celebrating Easter, you are bowing down to a pagan goddess of spring. First of all, there is no goddess named Eostra. Eostra was a fictional construct of the Brothers Grimm. The Brothers Grimm came up with Eostra as a Germanic goddess, but it was just a story that they wrote. And so there was no Eostra who was a Germanic goddess. So that's not where the name of Easter came from. Easter didn't come from Ishtar either, because, again, as I said before, it's only in the English that we call it Easter. Every other language in the world refers to it as some form of Passover. How about chicks and eggs? Again, the conspiracy theorists would tell us that eggs are a fertility symbol of a spring goddess, of a pagan goddess. And that may be true. But we, as Christians, have co-opted this symbol of new life to represent the tomb. And when the tomb breaks open, there is new life in the form of a chick. But what we're celebrating is the tomb opening and the new life, the resurrection of Christ, and the new life that he offers to each and every one of us. Easter refers to springtime and fertility. English is the only language that uses Easter. And a lot of these symbols were co-opted by Christians. Easter lilies. Why do we use Easter lilies? Well, Easter lilies come up about the time of Easter. They are shaped like trumpets. It's like the trumpet that announces the coming of the Lord. Butterflies are another great symbol of Easter that we have co-opted. The life cycle is like our birth as caterpillars, ugly little things, you know, born in sin. And then when they become a chrysalis, they're in a cocoon, and they are dead at that point, effectively. And then they arise and they come out of their tomb, as it were, as a beautiful butterfly, something completely transformed. So butterflies are another symbol of Easter that we have co-opted. Some of the symbols that we as Christians have come up with specifically for Easter. The cross. Obviously, the cross is the symbol of Jesus' crucifixion and what he did for us to take away the sin of the world. There is also the hot cross buns. Has anybody here had hot cross buns? When do we have hot cross buns? Anybody know? It's always Good Friday. Good Friday to remind us of the cross. And it's a little something sweet to remind us that Lent is over, that Lent is coming to a close. The lamb. The lamb is a symbol of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was the Paschal lamb. He was the lamb of Passover. During Passover, God commanded his people to take a lamb, a perfect lamb, without blemish, and to slaughter it in a particular way, and then to place it in an oven, and then take it out of the oven. All of this were symbols of the Passover that were a shadow of things to come. As we read in the reading in Colossians, these symbols were a shadow of things to come, pointing to Christ. And when Christ came, he fulfilled them all. So he became the Lamb. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, pointed him out to his disciples and said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus was the Lamb of God. So the lamb becomes another springtime symbol of Easter. Then we come into some very specific Christian symbols. The ichthys. The ichthys is the fish symbol that you sometimes see on the back of pickup trucks and cars. But that symbol, sometimes you see it with Greek letters inside of it. Iota, chi, theta, upsilon, sigma spells out in Greek the word ichthys, which means fish. But it's also an acrostic, which means iota, chi, Jesus Christ, theta, upsilon, God's Son, and sigma for Savior. IHS, we see IHS on the symbol of the cross here. IHS are the first three letters in the name of Jesus. Iota, Eta, and Sigma. Iesus is how you would pronounce his name in the Greek. Chi Rho, that's another symbol. Sometimes you see it as a P with an X through it. Chi Rho being the first two letters in the title of Christ. Alpha and Omega. Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." One that always stood out to me was INRI, or INRI. I don't know if you actually say INRI, but I always said INRI when I saw it. Like INRI the Eighth. INRI, INRI. This was the sign that hung over Jesus as he hung on the cross. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, in Latin. INRI. And a couple other symbols, the anchor, the Jerusalem cross, the Trinity symbol, the dove. The big question is, with all these symbols, what are we celebrating? What's in our hearts? What is it that we are using those symbols for? Whatever those symbols might have meant to other people in other times, in other faiths, what do those symbols mean to us as Christians? Are we worshiping the goddess Ishtar? Do we bow down to the sun and worship the sun? We have a sunrise service. But that's because it says early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. That's when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. That's why we have a sunrise service. It has nothing to do with worshiping the sun. What is it that we are worshiping on Easter? We are worshiping the risen Christ because we are the Easter people. We are the people of the risen Christ. And because he died and rose from the dead, he has promised to us eternal life in him. For all of those who believe in him. So whatever those symbols might mean to somebody else, this is what those symbols mean to us today. So when you get the conspiracy theorists who say to you, you're worshiping pagan goddesses, you're bowing down to false gods when you celebrate Easter, you can nod and smile and say, thank you for that information, because you will never convince them that of anything else. I promise you that. You will have that argument until you are dead, and they will still be arguing. That's how conspiracy theorists go. You can never, ever prove them wrong. Don't confuse the issue with facts, they might say. But as we look at the many symbols of Easter, we find that there are many symbols of springtime and the rebirth of the earth after winter that have been co-opted by Christians to resemble and symbolize the resurrection of Jesus and our subsequent rebirth and regeneration as followers of Christ. But it is the intent of what we celebrate that matters, not the origins of the symbols. We don't consciously bow down to Ishtar or Astartes or any other pagan god. The argument that Easter is a satanic ritual, it's hogwash. Invented by people with a poor understanding of history and scripture who desire to be the one and only truth and way to God. Paul said in his letter to the Colossians, and we read it a little bit earlier, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. We are Easter people, and we do not worship the shadow of things to come, but we worship the substance of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and rose and lives forevermore. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are our Lord and our God. We proclaim to you now that we are your Easter people. We live in the light of your glorious resurrection, and we celebrate our eternal lives with you. Thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us in this way, that we may forever live with you in your heavenly realm. For it is you that we worship, and in your name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, if a message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.